scrap paper here. I encourage you to take for a couple reasons. In fact, I have some $1,000. A couple reasons. Something like this, I prefer that you guys just listen first. And if you have questions, jot them down on the paper, on the scratch paper, anything you want to ask me or, you know, provide an illustration perhaps for the class to hear. And then during the course of the week, we're going to send you my transcript, my manuscript of what I'll be speaking on. So I just want you to really just listen and kind of process what's going on, because something like this is pretty weighty and can be somewhat confusing. And my goal is not to confuse the masses, but to just help us understand what's going on. I think we look at culture and we see that there are significant issues going on. And, you know, we're asking questions, well, where in the world did this come from? Especially our senior saints, I find that, you know, we live in a different world. And but we're going to see that there's nothing new under the sun, that every fad, every worldview has its foundation, its rooting in the fall. And we see ever more significantly the need to understand Genesis 1 through 11. The moment we neglect the first few books of the Bible is the moment we start to see that there's going to be errors in our own worldview. When we start to neglect Genesis, we begin to see our own mind erode with the culture and the world. I'm going to start off with a word of prayer, and then I'm going to kind of go into class objectives. What do we hope to accomplish? And I know that I have like 6 to 7 weeks with you all, and so we're going to take it in bite-sized pieces. I'm not going to give you a filet mignon that's about 24 ounces, although that sounds really delicious. But we're going to take it in bite-sized pieces. And yeah, let's start with there. Also, we will be audio taping it. Don't let this be a hindrance to sharing. It will be edited. We can edit out your voice and just then I'll repeat the question. But it's the purpose of it is to provide a transcript and then post it on our website under the Sunday School page, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's pray and then we'll dive into it. Gracious God and Father, we thank you for the Word of God, which is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. Your Word is truth, for you are the author of your Word, and you, by your very nature, are truth. You are the way, the truth, and the life, Lord Jesus, and we are called as Christians to submit under your Lordship, to submit to your truth. And yet we are susceptible, each and every one, to succumb to the worldview of the world. Oh, protect us, we pray. Protect us and our children and our grandchildren from the errors that prevail in society and even in our own hearts. Help us, oh Lord, in the course of the next several weeks to be charitable, but be truthful. To be a people who take every thought captive in obedience to Christ. We pray, Lord, that you would, by your Spirit, lead us and guide us in our thinking and in our doing, in our believing and in our obeying, that we would be gripped by your word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello.
Amen. I love it when kids say that. Okay, so what do we hope to accomplish? So a couple objectives in this class, and that is to understand the woke movement or the woke worldview, to understand its origin, where did it come from, because it's a relatively new term, but the movement itself is not new. It's just a relabeled, I guess, repackaged differently. Okay, and so we want to learn the origin of it, and also understand the basic teachings of the woke worldview. So what are their basic tenets? Just like in the Christian faith, we have basic tenets of our faith. You know, we use the Apostle Creed. The Apostle Creed as that standard of faith and what we believe, the articles of the Christian faith. Well, they too, every worldview has a set of doctrines. You can't avoid it. You know, you think about the importance of understanding the origin and basic teachings of the woke worldview. You think of the Apostle Paul. Do you think Paul knew what he was getting himself into when he went to various parts of Asia Minor, when he was wanting to preach the gospel and see many converted to Christ? What did he do in Athens? Do you remember what he did in Athens? He walked around. What did he see? He saw the idols of the city. And he saw one particular altar to an unknown god. And he sought to understand the culture in which he wanted to now bring the gospel to. What you know as unknown, let me teach to you and share with you the known God. The God that has revealed himself in creation and the God who reveals himself through the one man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul knew his culture. He knew the various philosophies. He was trained by Gamaliel, who was a very prominent Jewish leader and teacher in his day. He knew the philosophies of the day for the very purpose, in God's providence, his experience was given to him so that he would be a missionary to the Gentiles to share the gospel. And so the purpose of this class is not just to have intellectual ammunition against the woke movement and be vigilantes and, you know, these people with, you know, fists in the air ready to pounce on every woke person. We need to be careful. We need to be careful how we approach this subject. You see, there are two different kinds of tolerance. Okay?
Tell me if you've heard that you need to be tolerant. Have you heard that you need to be tolerant?
Okay? As we approach this class, and to understand the origin and teachings of the class, we want to make sure that we're tolerant towards individuals who are created in God's image. I love my neighbor. Why? Because they are created in God's image, God's likeness, and I'm called to love them. However, am I called to be tolerant towards their ideology or worldview? Am I called to be tolerant towards that? What do you think? If I disagree with you, does that mean I hate you?
No.
No? But see, does the world understand it that way? They don't. They conflate the two. Okay? If I disagree with you, therefore I hate you, and we can't have a conversation. We can't be neighborly anymore. Okay? So I want us to be careful that when we're talking about a subject like this, to understand the origin and basic teachings of the woke worldview, we need to make this distinction. Okay? That we're talking about people who believe in a worldview that is antithetical, that is opposite of the Christian worldview. And in fact, many are God haters. And we'll get into that. But Jesus says, love your neighbor. That means your enemy. It's easy to love those who love you in return. It's harder to love those who hate you. And so let's just make sure we make that clarification right off the bat. When we try to, the objective here is to understand the origin and basic teachings of the woke worldview for the very purpose of being ready to give a reason for the hope that is within us. To understand where they're coming from so that we can in turn do what? Witness. Show them teach them the truth. Does that mean they'll embrace it? No. That's God's business. Our business is to be faithful to what he's called us to. To respond with a biblical response, biblical truth that is contrary to their teaching, to their doctrines. Okay? So, first, our objective is to understand the origin and basic teachings of the woke worldview. And secondly, to be prepared to engage the woke worldview with biblical and theological truth. Always be ready to give a reason for the hope that is within you. And to do so with what? With what? Gentleness and kindness. Okay? Now, the truth hurts. And so we can come across as gentle and kind. And the kind thing is to do is the sheer truth that is hated. And so we cannot control how people respond to the way in which we share the truth. But with that too, we leave to God. So, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Beginning at verse 18. Just kind of kick us off here. And as we read, obviously we're reflecting on God's word here, but ask yourself, is there anything new under the sun? Can I have a volunteer to read verses 18 to 23 and a volunteer to read verses 24 to the end of the chapter? Any volunteers? Verse 18 to 23. Donna, you have it? And then John, you have 24 to the end of the chapter? Okay, go ahead.
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures.
Therefore God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. Because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those who are contrary to nature, and the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another. Men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to all those who practice them.
If you ask yourself the question, there's nothing new under the sun. They exchanged the truth about God for a what?
A lie.
The battle that we're in as Christians and as the Church of Jesus Christ is a battle for truth. Would you agree or disagree?
Agree.
At the end of the day, that's ultimately what it's about. It's about God and his word and his truth. It's about his glory. And Paul and the apostles and the early church were committed to this truth. Paul will say that the church is the pillar and buttress of what? Truth. So why have a Sunday school class on this? Well, let's call it our boot camp. Let's call it our intellectual, spiritual exercise to face a world that hates God. And let's be witnesses and servants of Christ in love for those who hate the truth. There's nothing new under the sun. We see here, God gave them up. God gave them up. God gave them up. Well, that's mean for God to give them up. No. Why? Because they were already inclined to all evils. They suppressed the truth and unrighteousness. They refused to confess God, their creator. They shook their fist in God's face, so to speak, deliberately and intentionally. They are God haters. And God says, so this is the route you want to go? Okay. Let's see what happens. Is this not what we see in our day and age today? And as we go through the course of this class, we're going to see that history repeats itself. It happens in every empire. Every empire. Empires come, empires go. And so be careful lest we think that America is Christ's kingdom. And America isn't susceptible to the fall like the Roman Empire. Because the Roman Empire suffered the same fate. They went through a period where then they eventually fell into a sexual revolution, which we have seen from the 60s onward. And after the sexual revolution, the Roman Empire crumbled. We see patterns throughout history where there's a sexual revolution that takes place, which Paul addresses here. This is a sexual impurity that has prevailed in the culture. And in the aftermath of that, people suppress the truth and unrighteousness, deny God, worship the creature rather than creator, and they see nations fall and crumble. There's a good sermon on this by John MacArthur on Romans 1, verses 18 and following. I don't know. I think, Donna, maybe you can track that for us and send it to us. And he kind of actually gives a historical, doesn't he give a historical pattern and of different empires that have gone through this? So there's nothing new under the sun. As we now start on this woke world view, I'm going to ask you a question. What do you know about the woke movement? Let me hear what you know or what you don't know. I don't care. Just talk. Remember, we can edit it from the audio. What do you know about woke?
That if you disagree, it means you hate them.
Yep. If you disagree, you hate them. It goes back to Marxism. Yes. How many of you have heard that before? It goes back to Marxism. Now, let me ask you a question. How does it go back to Marxism? How many of you can you raise your hand on that? A couple. See, that's what we hear. How does it go back to Marxism? We hear, like, in you watch cable news, oh, it's Marxism, it's Marxism. Well, okay. But what does that mean? Right?
Well, it's kind of like the Darwin theory, you know, that there is no God and everything just evolved.
Yeah. Yeah. Marx was influenced by materialism. He was a materialist, a naturalist. But he wasn't an atheist. He was an anti-theist. What's the difference? What's the difference between an atheist and an anti-theist? What does anti mean? Against. What does A mean? No or none. So what's the difference? He didn't believe in God.
And he hated him.
He hated him. See, that's the motto of atheists. There is no God, and I hate him. Because as Paul says, They suppress the truth in what? Unrighteousness. I find it very interesting and curious that when I'm involved in discussions with atheists or on online debates with atheists, well, I don't go on online debates with atheists, but I listen to like dialogues, they're always talking about God. You would have nothing to say about God if you don't believe in God. But they always have something to say. Very interesting. Very interesting. So, okay. What else? What do you understand about the woke movement? Again, I'm going to give you my notes, so don't worry about it. Just jot down questions you may have on that scratch paper.
You're your own truth.
Yeah. So truth is relative. Okay. Truth is relative. Okay. In philosophy, you know, truth is relative. That is, what's true for you is true for you. What's true for me is true for me. So if truth A and truth B are complete opposites, how can one be true and the other true as well? Right? It's philosophically untenable. It makes no sense, in other words. Right? It makes no sense. See, it always goes back to the truth. It goes back to the truth.
They,
so,
they cancel people.
Well, we're going to get, yeah, they cancel people. Right. So you don't believe in that, don't agree with them, they believe that you hate them, and then therefore they cancel you. We're going to get into that. Okay, so let me give you a working definition of woke, okay? This is from a lady, she's a Catholic woman, and wrote an excellent book called Awake Not Woke, Noelle Meering. M-E-R-I-N-G. And it's probably one of the better books I've read on woke worldview. I mean, she just lays it out plainly, very good. Now, her diagnosis of the woke movement is spot on, but her prescription, how she addresses it, she brings in the Eucharist, the Mass, the physical presence of Christ in the Eucharist, and so she goes the Catholic route. But I believe that you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, and she has a lot of good things to say until she gets to the prescription part. So she has a working definition. Woke means to be alert and attuned to the layers of oppression in society that surround issues like race, sex, and gender. Okay? To be alert and attuned to the layers of oppression in society that surround issues like race, sex, and gender. I would like to add to that definition this, that the woke worldview, those who embrace this worldview and philosophy, believe that they have arrived to the truth and you haven't. They have arrived to the truth. That is, they have seen the layers of oppression, and you are blind, and you need to see. Not only that, but based on your race or your ethnicity, your skin color, you are part of the problem. But as we will see, and I'm going to say this over and over again, it's never about skin color. It's never about skin color. It's never about ethnicity. It's not even about LGBTQ+. What are you talking about? No. It's about an ideology. It's about power. Let me give you an example of what I mean by this. What do they do with a Clarence Thomas? If anyone has reason to pull out a race card, if anyone has reason to complain about the layers of oppression in society, it would be Clarence Thomas. I saw an incredible documentary about him and how he grew up in the slums, in the swamps. If you ever, I think it's on Prime Video, on Clarence Thomas. Fascinating. Grew up in the swamps. Raised by grandparents. But what gripped him? Truth. Truth gripped him. It's not about race, sex, or gender for them, but they use it as a weapon to promote a movement. And we're going to get into that. So a working definition: to be alert and attuned, okay? To be alert and attuned to the layers of oppression in society. You may hear of systemic racism or a systemic injustice. You've heard of those sayings before, okay? That's where this comes from. They've arrived at a greater knowledge than you and me. Have you ever heard of the word Gnosticism before? Okay, what do you know about Gnosticism? What does Gnosticism mean?
No.
What's that?
No.
No, okay. So it comes from the word gnosis in the Greek, which means knowledge. Okay? Gnosticism is an inner knowledge, a revealed knowledge. Outside, it would be outside of biblical knowledge of God. Like God reveals himself to his people through his word. Gnosticism is a mystical knowledge that people have been attuned to. Okay? People have become alert to. They have this mystical knowledge. Okay, so we can say a special knowledge. All right. Now, this movement came in about the 3rd century, but it has its roots actually in biblical times. Because it has its roots in a movement, it's actually an early church heresy that was condemned in the early councils of the church called Docetism. Okay? Docetism. Anybody ever hear this word? Anybody ever hear of it? Okay? It comes from the Greek word dokein. Dokein means to seem. To seem. Okay? Now, how is to seem, what is this even, how is this even related to anything? Turn with me in your Bible to 1 John chapter 4. John the Apostle was the one apostle who was blasting this movement, Docetism. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. I'm going to stop right there. This is why we're doing this class. This is why we're doing this class. Because the church has embraced this worldview that we're talking about. Maybe they have good intentions. Maybe they're doing it in the name of love. I don't know their motive, their heart. God does. But what we do know is that this is permeating churches, influencing churches. And so what do we need to do as a church, a pillar and buttress of truth? You test the spirits. How do you test the spirits? Well, you test it against a standard, right? You test metal. How do you test metal? Through fire, through a standard, okay? And we test it through the word, okay? Verse 2, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the what? Flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. So John the Apostle was combating false teachers who were coming in saying that Jesus Christ, the person, was not fully human. Because in Docetism, they argue that Jesus seemed to be human, but he really wasn't human. Because Docetism morphed into a Gnosticism, which believed that, here we go, the spirit, good, material world, what?
Bad.
Jesus couldn't come in the flesh because the material world is evil, bad, not good. Not good. You ever hear that the body is the prison house of the soul? You ever hear that saying? Why would, if Christians claim that Jesus is God, why would God come in a human body when the human body, the material aspect, is bad? Now, how in the world does this relate to our discussion? I don't want to go there, but how many of you are starting to see how this relates? I'm just kind of curious. I'm just going to throw this out there right now. Do you see why it's okay now to mutilate a child's body and transition them to another sex? They feel like they're a woman. Why not use the body to trans them into something else? There's a book, an excellent book that Dana brought to my attention a while back called Love Thy Body. Also written by a woman named Piercy?
Nancy Piercy.
Nancy Piercy, Love Thy Body. I encourage you to get that book. It is so good. And she talks about this dualism and how it impacts and is immersed in everything that we see today. See, there's nothing new under the sun here. This goes back centuries. Okay, even before Marx. Even before Marx. In fact, the Canaanites, all the tribes, the nations of the world, sacrificing children to Molech, cutting themselves. When you read the law of God, not just the Ten Commandments, but also the other laws of God in the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, don't cut yourself, I just read recently. Do not cut yourself. Why? Why would he tell the priests not to cut themselves? Don't be like the nations who do these ritualistic cuttings. A man shall not wear women's clothing. It is an abomination. Do you know that's in the Bible? Deuteronomy? This goes back to the early church, even before the early church. Okay? And so, Gnosticism, which is centuries old, is alive and well today. They have a special knowledge that you don't have, and you need to be awakened. You need to have a resurrection, a intellectual, mental resurrection to understand these layers of oppression in society. I want to stop right here. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Well, if they don't believe that God made man in his own image,
mm-hmm.
and he was perfect,
mm-hmm.
until the fall. They don't believe in that?
Yeah, they would see that as myth. Okay? That's the Christian narrative. But when you don't hold the Bible as inspired, and the Bible being inspired, that is inspired by God himself, it's God's word, then it loses its authority, right? That's why the inspiration of Scripture is so vital to the Christian faith. Once you lose inspiration, you lose authority, right? And so they don't hold that as inspired of God, just a man-made written book. Now, we would agree that it's written by man, but man inspired and moved by the Holy Spirit. And so once you get rid of inspiration, then you've lost authority. Is that helpful?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So if you don't believe that God created us in his image, where do they derive spirit from? Is that just their conscience?
Very good. Their conscience, yeah. And we're going to get into that momentarily. Yeah, and probably in the next week. But yeah, so the spirit, okay, or we could say the immaterial. So for example, your passions, your lust, your desires come from your conscience. And you use those passions and lusts. You use your body to do what with those passions and lusts? Live them out. Be free. Be free. Give in to your passions and lusts and use your body to fulfill it. What does Paul say to the Romans? Do not use your bodies as instruments of what? Unrighteousness. Oh, there's nothing new under the sun. Paul knew exactly what was going on. Because the Greek and Roman world is not altogether different than today. In fact, we are more like the Greek and Roman world today than we ever were in history. And I'll say this right now. I was going to say it later. We have sacraments in the church. They are what? The Lord's Supper. And what else? Baptism. The sacrament of woke is what? Abortion. Do you think it's really about reproductive rights? Do you think it's really about women's choice? At the Women's March a few years ago about women's rights, there was a feminist group who went, but they were against abortion. And they were with other feminists at this march. And they wanted to join forces. The march wasn't about abortion. It was just about women's rights. But when the leader of this women's march in D.C. found out that this particular feminist group were vehemently against abortion, what do you think happened? What do you think happened? They kicked them out. Get out of here. I'm telling you, it's not about race. It's not about sex. Okay? And it's not about gender. Well, we would say sex and gender are the same. It's about an ideology, a worldview that we're going to unpack in this and come in with a Christian worldview and show how it's an error, it's false, it's a lie from the depths of hell. It really is. And man, we need people, we need Christian men and women to stand up and call it for what it is. Call it for what it is. In a few weeks, I'm going to show you a video. I just watched it yesterday, trying to find out where to place it in this teaching series. But the guy that was speaking, that he was a pastor in the Anglican Church, but he very orthodox in his theological beliefs. And in the Church of England, they're buying into this movement. And even the bishops are saying that homosexual marriage is okay. Transition to another gender is okay. And so this, in the Oxford Union, they have a student union where they have real debate, and it's a hostile environment. And this reverend, this guy goes in there and speaks the truth so powerfully. I was so moved by his preaching. I was more moved that he had the guts, the spiritual guts, and fortitude and boldness to stand up for the truth. There was nothing like new that he was saying to us. There's just something of the power of the Spirit that was working in the simple message that he was giving. Just giving the message of the Bible and the truth regarding marriage. And then at the end, in front, and he called them wolves in sheep's clothing. And he said, and they were sitting right there, "I charge all of you wolves in sheep's clothing to repent. Repent and believe the truth and follow Christ." That's what we need today. But we can't do that more effectively if we don't understand what we're engaged in. We need to know. I've digressed a little bit. That's okay. So, digression is okay. Maybe not at the pulpit, but here it's okay, I guess. So, what are some prominent critiques or features of the woke movement that are very apparent to a Christian? One of the prominent critiques that, or a few of them, is the sin of self-righteousness. The sin of self-righteousness. They show concern for other groups and affirm lifestyles, but they in fact cause more harm to them than good. They think that they have the greater special knowledge, and therefore they're the ones who are the enlightened ones. There's no sin in their worldview from their end. They'll see your sin. They'll point out the speck in your eyes, but the log in theirs, no. Now, that being said, when we approach this subject and converse with those who embrace this worldview, we need to watch out for the sin of self-righteousness. How might we need to watch out for the sin of self-righteousness? That's a question. What can we do to commit this sin? Any thoughts? Anyone?
I think when we go from the premise that we have the truth and by golly, you're going to hear it.
Mm.
That's not the attitude we need to.
Mm-hmm.
That's not speaking the truth in love and kindness.
Yeah. Yeah. As if we receive the truth.
That's
and
really
you
no
have
different than their attitude.
Yes. Can you repeat that so everybody can hear that again?
That's really no different than what their attitude is, because they are convinced that they have the truth.
Right. Right.
So this would call us then to be humble, that mm-hmm. we don't have perhaps all of the truth, even though our core,
mm-hmm.
Like you said at the beginning, in gentleness
mm-hmm.
And love, it's just being humble enough to be able to listen, because there's a person there created in the image of God.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some things that we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
What's behind the rage against God,
mm-hmm.
things like that. You really need to be humble, because you don't know everything.
Yeah. And what you do know has been what? The gift of God.
Yes.
Right? For all of you who have grown up in the church and have heard gospel preaching your whole life, you think that's by chance?
No.
Has not God blessed you? And even for people like me who did not grow up in the church and heard the gospel for the first time at age 23, was that by chance? No. So what makes me think that I am more righteous than the next? When we are all sinners in need of a Savior, who out of his electing love and goodness called me to saving faith. So So we go in with an attitude of humility. So the sin of self-righteousness is a prominent critique, but the same could be true in the, for Christians who come into this topic with guns a-blazing. Another critique is this. There's no room for redemption or forgiveness. This is an important one. There's no room for redemption or forgiveness. If a person is guilty, what happens? It was said earlier. They are what? Canceled. Okay? So, if you realize that you're part of the problem, and you come to the truth, you're canceled and you're not forgiven. We're glad that you came to the truth, but your life, everything about you is evaporated, gone, erased. Think what did I just say? Evaporated, gone, erased. Your identity erased. Why are they tearing down statues in this country? Erase, cancel. So, again, they give the impression that they are concerned about certain people groups when in fact they cause more harm than good. And at the core of woke worldview is actually, and I'm not afraid to say it, the very core of it is racist, it is sexist. And it is an oppressive system. And we shouldn't be afraid to say it. It is at its very core those things. Now, who actually believes in this? We're going to close in 1 minute here. I have to get ready. Who actually believes in this worldview? Do people actually believe it? People actually believe it. And it's growing more and more. They actually believe it. But just like in the Christian faith, in churches, you have those who believe it but don't know much about it, right? You have that in any group setting. You have those who are the theology doctors, you know, in the church. And then you have the informed parishioner. Then you have the parishioner who's happy to go along with the program. Well, the same thing is true in this movement. Most will not be able to articulate what will be articulated in this course. But if you ask them what it is, they'll believe it. They won't know why or how, but they'll believe it. They'll believe it. Okay, I'm going to close with this. Like every opposition to truth, this is a spiritual attack against what is right, true, and good. Right, true, and good. It's ultimately an attack against the Christ of Scripture. That's what it's an attack against. Paul says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. This is a spiritual attack that comes from Satan himself. Remember that first and foremost. And I'm going to say this now, and I'll say it at the end. Do not make it a political debate. It's not about being Republican, Democrat, or Independent. Remove politics from this. I understand that your worldview influences your politics, but the moment you go into politics is the moment you've lost the conversation already. Okay? I'm not saying that in time you can go there and to show how a Christian worldview affects policy and all that stuff. It does. But what are we to do as Christians to understand where this comes from and what does it mean to the one who believes it? The one who believes it needs to hear the truth of the word and has been deceived by the evil one. And God uses us as ambassadors of Christ to be salt and light, to share the gospel of Jesus. Now, I hope to give you some tools. during the course of this series to help us do that, as we understand this movement better and as we apply the Word of God to these challenges. Next week, we'll look at two philosophers who heavily influenced this movement. And I will say this, the BLM founders, Patrice Cullors, is her name? I think that's how you pronounce it. Cullors or Colors. Patricia said that she describes herself as a trained Marxist and was a protege of one of the members of the Weather Underground terrorist organization. That's the founder of BLM. She has her roots in Marxism. So is it important? Absolutely. And we're going to look into why it's important next week. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, we give you thanks and praise for your word of truth. And we confess, Lord, that apart from you, we can do nothing. That apart from your grace and mercy towards us sinners, we too would be found wanting and living in lies. And so help us, O Lord, to be humble. Help us to read your word and study your word and reflect upon your truth and to apply your word in our daily lives. Help us, O Lord, to be ready to give a reason for the hope that is within us and to do so with gentleness and kindness. O Lord God, be with us in the remainder of this day as we worship you in spirit and in truth and give glory to your name. We thank you, O Lord, for your church, for the people of God, that we can fellowship together and grow together in Christ, spurring one another on to love and good deeds. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.